this thing on. You know, sometimes I can't tell if it's on or not. You know, that's why I need to hire a production crew instead of, like, doing everything myself. But that's why you need to hit the supporter button to send me money. Anyway, hey, this is Victims of Fun. And, welcome to episode 19 on the World's Greatest Opinions Vary podcast. And I hope everybody's doing good. You're listening to this podcast on Spotify, iHeart, Google, a whole bunch of other podcast things. Whatever you're listening to it on, I'm sure it's a great platform. And I want to remind you that you can do your own podcast by going to the anchor.fm website and downloading the podcast software, and you can actually podcast right from your phone remotely. So if you run into an alien or something and you want to interview them, feel free. And Anchor will set you up with places to host your podcast. They'll monetize it, and you can make money. I haven't made any money because none of you are sending me any because you're all cheap. But there you go. So, as usual, Victims of Fun is created by Anchor.fm, hosted on Spotify, iHeart, Pandora. We have our beautiful blue microphone Yeti Snowball, our Seagate SSD 2 terabyte drive that the entire podcast is stored on. And, of course, the podcast is created on Apple MacBook Air M1 using GarageBand. So there you go. So this week is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And that's a bit of a touchy subject for a lot of people. It affected the world. Sometimes I wonder if that's hyperbole because, like, you know, is there tribes in Africa that really had their lives affected by what happened? I mean, I don't know. It's an American thing to think that things that happen here affect the planet, but I guess in a way it did. But it was 20 years ago, and everybody's sharing where they were on 9/11, so I might as well do it. I was living in Europe, and I just got done meeting with the head of DHL of Europe at his office, and I was coming down, and the receptionist, who was a 22-year-old girl, I think her name was Adela, was crying, and she said, "Oh my God, World War III just started," and I was like, "Really? I'm going to go home and drink a bottle of Jack Daniels." And then put on the TV with a bunch of friends at a friend's apartment and saw what was happening on 9/11. And it was terrible. You know, I had lived in Hoboken for a while, and I'm from New Jersey. And I had been to Manhattan a bunch of times. I had a girlfriend up there at the time. And I had been on top of the World Trade Center. Most people had. You know, I'd been up there a couple times, you know, school trip, with friends, you know, visiting. And, it was quite an experience that day. I remember seeing it. And I had turned on the TV just after the second plane hit and, saw what was going on. I'm like, oh man, this is really not good. A lot of people panicked. I remember living in Europe where I was, they were locking everything down because they didn't know if this was like a worldwide attack or something. And believe it or not, where I lived, the neighborhood I lived in, there were people running around going that they were 900% sure this was an alien invasion. That this was the first step in, like, Independence Day for real. And I'm like, oh God, aliens are not gonna, like, attack us like that. If they're gonna do anything, they're gonna drop asteroids on us from orbit. But, you know, there was a lot of people running around. Nobody knew what was really going on other than the fact the World Trade Center was gone. And, you know, I don't want to say it didn't affect my life. But, you know, I guess it affected everybody's lives, and it affected a lot more people's lives more deeply than people like me who, you know, other than the restrictions that came up because of the Patriot Act and everything, my life pretty much went on as it was before. There's too many heroic stories that come out of 9/11. From the guy that surfed the wreckage down from the top to actor Steve Buscemi showing up at his old... Because Steve Buscemi was a firefighter in New York at, I think, Engine Company 55 or something. I think 5 or 55. Yeah, I think it was 55. And he showed up and found his old engine company and didn't tell anybody. And just for 5 days worked alongside his old comrades. And, you know, there's stories of people being pulled from the wreckage alive and just a whole bunch of other things. And, you know, there's too many heroic stories. People who rescued people and went back in the building to get others multiple times and everything else. And in every tragic situation, heroes always emerge. You know, whether it was, you know, 9/11 or the Boston bombing, or even going back like Pearl Harbor or the Hindenburg, there's always stories of people who, you know, without thought for their own safety, went in to rescue others. And, you know, that demonstrates just how much potential humanity has, that they're willing to run into disaster for people they don't even know. And I'm not talking like just firefighters and first responders. I mean, ordinary citizens. The first responders were the, I hate to use the word stars of the day, but I can't think of any other term. I remember reading that a big chunk of the New York City Police and Fire Department got wiped out that day because of going in and out of the buildings before it collapsed to rescue people. You know, they were the heroes of that day. And it just saddens me that 20 years later, such a big, stupid part of the population of this country hates the police after everything they did, you know, on 9/11 and all these reports of firefighters being attacked when they go to fight fires in the cities because these brainwashed communist Antifa idiots. Yeah, it's just, it's sad because 9/11, the only silver lining that could have come out of 9/11 was a sense of unity across the board for the American citizens, you know. All colors, all religions, all sexualities, everything could have, everybody could have came together. But you see, things like that frighten the people in power because they don't want to see a unified country. They want to see everybody divided because it's how they stay in power. And the minute people start banding together is the minute bad things seem to happen, which is something I'm not going to touch on. But yeah, you know, we had an opportunity to come together as a people and we blew it. And we're even more divided than we were 20 years ago. And it's a shame, really. But, you know, these things happen, I guess. But that's where I was 9/11. And honestly, I wish I had some sort of story or some great profound thing to tell you. But without sounding callous or anything, other than the fact that it looked horrible on TV and it was, you know, a sad, terrible moment, my life wasn't affected. I went to work. What I was doing, I went the next day, and, you know, for about a week or two, that's all anybody at the job I had, that's all they wanted to talk about. But my life didn't change, really. I was still, you know, living my life, doing my thing, going out, and just whatever. And I wish I had some profound thing to tell you about what happened to me personally, but nothing did. Nothing really change. And I remember even flying back to the U.S. after 9/11, and other than a slightly longer wait going through security and more security people running around, nothing really looked any different to me on my level, which sometimes on a personal level you don't notice things, but until you kind of guess, like, I guess, back out and expand your field of view to see what's going on around you, then you can see things have changed. And obviously, yeah, I saw that, but on my personal level, it didn't impact my life. I didn't know anybody in the towers. I didn't know anybody even in New York at the time. none of my relatives or friends were involved in any way, shape, or form in any of the businesses. None of them were first responders, and you know, it was just. I remember one of the things. Excuse me, I have something stuck in my throat. I remember one of the things was that the attack happened while Howard Stern was on the air. And it happened when he was getting ready to sign off. And obviously the people coming in to relieve him from his morning show, because he did it live back then on normal radio, couldn't make it in. And Howard Stern stayed on the air for another 8 or 9 hours or something, and he, the audio tape of his show is available on YouTube, and actually it was, like, as soon as it happened, his entire shtick went out the window, and he turned into Howard Stern, the newscaster, Howard Stern, the information guy, and dropped all the comedy stuff for the next 8 hours, and, you know, people were calling in. He was trying to reconnect people because, you know, everybody in New York listened to his show. So people would call in going, oh, you know, I want to know if this person's safe and I know they listened to your show. And then that person would hear it and call in, and he was able to reunite people and coordinate stuff. And he got a lot of praise for that day, for what happened. I mean, he's turned into a piece of shit now, but, you know, for one brief moment, you know, he, yeah, he was actually pretty important to what happened that day as far as getting the news out, because he was the only one that stayed on the air. And you can actually go on YouTube and listen to his broadcast that day and listen to it live as they were finding out what was happening. It's actually, see, that's something I actually like about the internet and social media, is that you can capture historic moments like that. And you know, it's like Hindenburg, the famous movie film of it blowing up and the guy giving commentary as it happened live. I mean, things like that were rare back then. And, you know, there's Howard Stern, who for 8 hours has this beautiful record of the day's events as they were unfolding in real time. And it's a fascinating time capsule to listen to. And it's, I remember, I listened to it, I just started listening to the entire broadcast from YouTube, and I almost binged listened to it. I listened to half of it, and the next day I listened to the other half, because it was just so fascinating, everything that was going on. It was like, you know, imagine if somebody was, you know, imagine if it was, technology was different in the day of Pearl Harbor, somebody was, you know, live streaming something and the attack happens and stays on Twitch for the next 8 hours covering the whole thing. That's kind of what it was like. But it's, you know, it was a tragedy. It was horrible. And, you know, it's like kind of everybody's where were you moment. Like, you know, where were you when Kennedy was shot? Where were you when the Challenger exploded? You know, where were you when the Berlin Wall came down? Where, you know, I remember, obviously way before 9/11, when my grandfather was still alive, my dad's father, when I was in my teen years, you know, I studied history and everything. I was always into it. And, you know, my grandfather was very old, and he was from Italy. He came over in 1912, excuse me. And I remember one day, you know, because we always went down there to see him, me and my dad and everybody else. And I remember talking to him. And one of my biggest regrets is I never really grilled him about his life in Italy, you know, and what it was like before he came over, which I should have. But, you know, you're young. What do you know? But I was always interested in history. I remember saying to him, Grandpa, do you remember the Hindenburg, and you remember Pearl Harbor? And he's like, you know, his Italian accent. He said, oh, I remember where I was when I heard of the news. And, you know, the Hindenburg happened in Lakehurst, New Jersey. And, you know, my family's from New Jersey. They were living in New Brunswick. And so obviously, you know, they 1932 or 33 or whenever the Hindenburg was, And my grandfather remembered when it happened because it came on the news, and he remembers seeing the little film clip of it blowing up, and I remember him saying he was torn because on one hand, all those people died, but on the other hand, it was a Nazi Zeppelin that exploded. My grandfather didn't like Hitler at all. He liked Mussolini, but he didn't like Hitler. He thought that Germany had, that Mussolini would have been better off on his own without Hitler, you know, which a lot of people agree with, but whatever. And I asked him where he was with Pearl Harbor, and you know, my father, my aunt, and uncle were very young, and my father didn't remember, because I think he was only three, and my Aunt Gina never could remember what she had for dinner the night before, and my Uncle Joe, I think, was an infant, but my grandfather remembered Pearl Harbor, at least when he told me, like, when he heard the news, and he said he was reading the newspaper, getting his bookie sheets for the horse racing ready for the week when my grandmother was like, "Oh, you gotta put on the radio. There were Japanese. They attack Pearl Harbor," and put it on, and pretty much found out when the rest of the world found out, and you know, Roosevelt's declaration of war, and all that stuff. And I remember him saying that. And he was too old by then to be drafted. And he had three kids. And but I remember him saying that. And of course, my parents, you know, my mother, you know, and father always said they knew exactly where they were when Kennedy was killed. And the story is, when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, they were watching it on TV. And I actually started walking for the first time when Neil Armstrong started walking. So, which was kind of cool. Now, that, at least that's what they told me. I actually asked my mother that a couple days ago. And she said, yeah. And I guess it's not propaganda. I guess, you know, if she says it happened, I guess it happened. But, you know. But it's funny, everybody, you always, and oh, the Challenger. I was in high school. I was in Mr. Morgan's biology class when the Challenger thing happened, and we weren't watching it, but I remember they came over the news, that what you call it, the intercom system, and told everybody what happened, and it was terrible. Now, I remember that. I remember when the Berlin Wall came down, you know. I remember, what else happened? Well, obviously, I remember 9/11, and I remember when the Gulf War started, and, you know, it's, people always remember. It's funny, you know, you'll forget your wedding anniversary, but, you know, you'll remember where you were when Kennedy was shot, or when, you know, 9/11 happened. So, but, yeah, there you go. So, to everybody that died on that day or later from complications, you know, we remember, and you know, I kind of want to say, hopefully we took some good out of it and learned our lessons, but the state of the world right now is, I don't think we did. I don't think we learned anything at all. I think things have gotten worse, but, you know, what are you going to do? That's just how things seem to be going. But that's my 9/11 stuff. Now let's go on to something different, because 9/11 stuff gets depressing. So I got my Twitch stream, and I'm getting a handle on getting the Twitch program working. And so far, so good. I got to get a web camera, because the camera on the laptop is, Apple's not known for their forward-facing webcams. It doesn't look good. So I'm going to get a 1080p, very, very good. Well, not $1,000, but I'm going to get a decent web camera that everybody seems to be using for their Twitch streams to set it up. And but what I've noticed, I've been hanging out on Twitch, and, you know, I'll go and I purposely look for people who don't have many viewers, because There's people on Twitch who have like 20, 30,000 viewers at a clip, but these are people doing it as a profession that are like streaming, you know, esport games. But the thing I've noticed is that these people who do this that like have like 10,000 people watching at the same time and like 500,000 subscribers or whatever, their channels, their stream is all full of gimmicky sound effects, graphics, and they come off as a bunch of douchebags, to tell you not to God's truth. They just come off as very narcissistic and self-centered and just, you know, you can tell they're doing it for the money. They're not doing it because they enjoy it. You know, I was watching one guy who streams Call of Duty play, and you could just tell he's not really, maybe at one time he was into the game, but now that it's a job, you can just tell the joy is gone from his eyes. But he's got so many sponsors and so much money because he has so many viewers that I guess to maintain his lifestyle of being a millennial piece of garbage, he's got to keep doing it. So I always look for streamers that have like hardly any viewers, and because, you know, I like to support the little guy because I have hardly any listeners. And the thing I've noticed since being on Twitch is, man, there's a lot of horrible people streaming. I would say out of the 7 people I'm following right now, really only 2 are not sketchy or suspicious as hell. The other 5 are pretty much, you know, they're in it for the money. They've got I'm just going to throw it out there. With the exception of 2 people, all the people I'm following, you know, have an OnlyFans, and they're like selling pornographic content on it. And they're on Twitch, and basically they're just begging. They don't come out and say, oh, you should send me money, but they're always like, oh, here's my Amazon wish list, and if you buy me this, you can get... I'm like, oh my God, go get a job. And that's the other thing I've noticed. A couple of them don't even work. I mean, it just seems like they're online streaming all the time, even though they've got no viewership. And I'm like, okay, well, somebody's got a sugar daddy. But there's 2 of them I follow that aren't like this, but they hardly stream because they have lives. I mean, there's some that I follow who basically are on constantly. One of them is a 30-something years old who thinks she's still 18 and is always bragging about how drunk she got over the weekend and why can't she find a relationship? And I'm like, well, maybe because you're 32 and you're an alcoholic and you're always going out sleeping around and getting drunk and playing video games. I mean, maybe that's why you can't find a man, or the men you find just, you know, want like a night out of you. Like, nobody's going to want to settle down with somebody like that. It's just not going to happen. You know, I'm sorry, those are truth bombs. It's not what a normal guy is looking for. The other thing I've noticed is, you know, the ones that have boyfriends, if you go on their Instagrams, it's just, I don't get the whole neckbeard soy boy beta male thing. I mean, this one streamer, I don't follow her, but like I'll lurk on her channel because she plays good music. But I don't want to follow her because I don't like following people because then I feel obligated. I gotta jump online all the time every time they come on. Even though I do follow a couple people. But, I mean, she's a very good singer, very good this, that, and the other thing. And you go on her Instagram page, and her boyfriend literally is 140 pounds soaking wet. Has got that soy boy neck beard thing that's missing patches of hair because he's got like no testosterone. And I'm just like, you know, maybe because I'm a lot older and I'm kind of like old school, but you know, if aliens ever invade us, guys like him are going to get wiped out in the first wave. I mean, seriously. I'm just like, why don't you, like, eat some meat and lift some weights and, like, work on your body and your cardio and, you know, stop wearing matching onesies with your girlfriend and act like a guy? I mean, seriously, like, what the hell's up with that? But anyway, so that's Twitch, and there's just a lot of sketchy, suspicious people on Twitch, and their content is horrible. I mean, there are some good things on Twitch. I've seen people who do nothing on Twitch, but they play chess, so they'll have like a computerized chess down. You know, you can go online and play chess for free against a computer, against opponents, and some of the people stream their matches, and that's extremely fun. I like watching that sort of thing. There's people that do book reviews, movie reviews, or they just turn on and chat. But, you know, most of them are just streaming their games, and they're either very horrible at it, or they're very good at it and make fun of everybody who doesn't know every, like, thing you have to do to play the game. And then they're always begging for things from their Amazon wish list, which is bullshit and stupid. I mean, I'm always begging for money, but at least it's money. I'm not begging for, like, you know, hey, you know, you should buy me this cute pair of pink headphones that have cat ears on them. I mean, get a job. Seriously, like, get a job. And if Twitch is your job, you better be making, like, $3,000 a month on it. Because, you know, you do got to pay taxes out of that. And I guarantee you most of them aren't there because they're so stupid. I used to work with a guy. And he's an idiot. And he's an absolute idiot. And he's about 8 years younger than I am. But mentally, he's like 14. And I remember working with him. And he was so stupid. And he was always spending money. But the money he was spending was always his mother's. You know, he'd be like, I saw this truck I want. It's really nice. It's a brand new Ram diesel, and I'm going to get my mother to buy it for me. I'm going to get my mother to do it. And I'm like, dude, what the hell? Like, you're 40-something years old. You go buy it. Well, one day, me, and this was somewhere I used to work a long time ago, and he's like, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, when I'm older, getting a beach house and everything. And I'm like, how do you intend on affording that? I said, I'm not trying to start a fight, but how do you, I said, you don't make much working here. I said, you're constantly spending money hand over fist that isn't even yours. How do you expect to live on the beach? Well, you know, I'll be getting my mother's pension and Social Security. And I looked at him, I'm like, why? He's like, yeah, you know, one day when my mom's gone, I'll be getting my mother's Social Security and pension. I said, that's not how it works. He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, when the person dies, your Social Security and your pension is gone. It doesn't go to you unless you're married to the person. And I said, you know, when my father died and my mother retired, my mother had a choice of either getting his Social Security or hers. I said, she gets his pension because, you know, that's it was money put aside. I said, but when it comes to Social Security, she either got hers or his, depending on what was more. And I said, as far as a pension goes, pension only goes to the spouse. It doesn't go to the kids. It's not how it works. Oh, that's bullshit. That's not how that is. So the boss of the company we worked for came over and explained to him, yeah, that's how it works. You're not getting your mother's pension and Social Security when she's gone. And he legitimately freaked out at work, like, violently. He's like, but I've been financially, like, planning on that, and a lot of stuff I do is all because I thought I was getting this money, and blah, 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 I'm in so much debt now, and I'm like, well, you're an idiot. I'm like, and I said to him, I said, no offense, I said, but you have the mentality of a 14-year-old. So then he ends up marrying somebody who's, like, the same age as his 21-year-old daughter, and, like, apparently, like, emotionally abuses her, so whatever. But, yeah, that's, you don't get your parents' Social Security, you know, what's up with that? People are stupid. Oh, my God. It's just, but that's the type of mentality that goes on like Twitch. Is like people think that, oh, look at me, man. My stream pays me $4,000 a month. Okay, well, you know, tax time. I hope you're saving. Well, what do you mean? Well, you do realize that's income and it's taxed, and you got to keep records of all that. And at the end of the year, Twitch is going to send you all the forms. And unless you've been saving it, because Twitch is not taking the money out, you're going to have to cut a check to the IRS for probably about $7,000-$8,000. Well, I don't have that saved up. What the hell? I'm like, well, how do you think taxes work, you dumbass? Ugh. See, that's just stupid. But, yeah, what do you do? Hey, and today's the first day of college football. I mean, college football was yesterday, and I hate Alabama. They cheat, but at least Ohio State lost. But today is the first day of the pro season. I've been very much looking forward to it. I know the Giants are probably going to suck this year, but what are you going to do? And as long as Tom Brady doesn't win the Super Bowl, I will be very, 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 very happy, because I can't stand Tom Brady, especially living in Florida with Tampa Bay. It's just bullshit. I don't want to see it. So my prediction right now for the Super Bowl, I know it's early and anything could happen, but I predict it will be Green Bay versus Kansas City. That's my prediction. I think Buffalo is going to come very close to beating Kansas City in the title game, but experience, I give Buffalo one more year before they're ready to get into the Super Bowl. Kansas City's just got a little bit more experience. I think it's going to come down to Green Bay and San Francisco in the NFC title game, and Green Bay is going to go. And then it's going to be Green Bay versus Kansas City. And that's probably a toss-up. But I think, I would give the edge to Green Bay. Only because I know Aaron Rodgers wants to go out a winner and prove everybody wrong. But I think Kansas City is going to take it, because Rodgers has lost more than one step. And that's my prediction. So, hope you all have a good week. Next week I will recap how wrong I was about the NFL season. And anything else that comes to mind. So, remember, you can email Victims of Fun at victimsoffun@mail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Just do a search for Victims of Fun, and you'll see the Victims of Fun logo, which is the Yeti Snowball microphone. Remember, we are on Twitch. Just do a search for Victims of Fun, and there I am. Remember, you can click that supporter button and send me money, which you should, because I need it. I need it more than you do. And I hope everybody has a great week, and stay out of trouble, and God bless America.
About you.